Scripture for today comes from Psalm 105, the Contemporary English Version. Subtitle, The Lord Can Be Trusted. Praise our God and pray in God's name. Tell everyone what God has done. Sing praises to our God. Tell about God's miracles. Celebrate and worship God's holy name with all your heart. Trust our God and God's mighty power. Remember God's miracles and all God's wonders and fair decisions. You belong to the family of Abraham, God's servant. You are God's chosen ones, the descendants of Jacob. Our God is bringing justice everywhere on earth. Our God will never forget God's agreement and promises, not in thousands of years. When God led Israel from Egypt, they took silver and gold.
Hold on, Jim, you got muted. There you go.
Can you okay, get back in?
Back to God, they took silver and gold.
Okay, and no one was left behind.
Thank you.
The Egyptians were afraid and gladly let them go. God hid them under a cloud and guided them by fire during the night. When they asked for food, God sent more birds than they could eat. God even split open a rock and streams of water gushed into the desert. God never forgot the sacred promise given to his servant Abraham. When our God rescued the chosen people from Egypt, they celebrated with songs. Our God gave them the land and everything else the nations had worked for. God did this so that God's people would obey all of God's laws. Shout praises to our God. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you for bearing with us as we all of a sudden went into a mute with everybody, but we got us all up. We got it taken care of. I don't know how many of you were up on the Big Island, Hawaii Island, before 2018. We're in the Puna District. If you had been in the Puna District and you had gone to Leilani Estates prior to May 2018, you would have found in Leilani Estates a place that was utterly lush and verdant, a world that was flush with life. Fruit trees of all varieties, haupu ferns, ohia, koa, all sorts of different kinds of plants, birds of all shapes. All right, so was I muted on as I was talking about Leilani Estates? Now you can hear me, Karen and Jim. Did you hear me talk about Leilani Estates? You did, okay.
Yes, we did. It was just a second.
That's okay. That's no problem. This is the joy of being live, right, with one another. So wherever you turned, if you were in Leilani Estates prior to May of 2018, you would have found life unbounded, brimming with the possibilities of Eden, the Garden of Eden. But come May 2018, we knew something was up. Halemaumau Crater, the caldera of Kilauea, the summit caldera of Kilauea volcano began to collapse. And as it began to collapse, fissures began to open up along the flank of the volcano. Much of that flank was right where Leilani Estates were. Fissures began to open up in roads and in yards and even beneath homes. And unlike other volcanic eruptions, it didn't have the drama of the atomic explosiveness of Mount St. Helens or Krakatoa. It didn't have the flare of the 1,500-foot high lava fountains of Kilauea Iki in 1959. But the next two months of 2018 were utterly harrowing for the people of Leilani Estates, for the people of Puna, and for us as a state as we watched, as fissures became vents to the volcano, as mountains of lava began to build where once there had been homes, as rivers of lava formed where once there had been streets, where new land was created, where once there had been bays teeming with fish, and lives and livelihoods were buried in an eruption that seemed to go on forever. That which had been possible, because when you build a community on the flank of an active volcano, this is indeed what is possible. That which had been possible always, but had for years been conveniently ignored, became a reality. And I have to tell you that so many days recently, as I reflect back on 2020, which is not yet three-fourths the way done, it feels a lot like that. That which has been possible, which has been seething under the surface for generations, has all of a sudden broken through. We live in a time of pandemic and protests. We live in a time of disinformation, division, and disdain, of ignorance and opportunism. We live in a time where the West Coast is on fire and the Gulf Coast is underwater. We live in a time of innocent lives being discarded and taken, a time in which giants who walked among us, even if they were barely 5 feet tall, have breathed their last. And the politics of hate and discord and distrust burst through at every moment. There are days, and I know I am not alone in this as I talk with many of you, where living through all of this is hard. Howard Thurman, in his book, Meditations from the Heart, speaks for all of us when he says, at times like this, we do not know how to do what we know to do. We do not know how to be what we know to be. And I can be honest that in these days of uncertainty and instability, when I first read those words of Psalm 105 that Jim just read for us, words that are triumphant, words that are written with a confidence in a God who is absolutely in control, a God who is able to work miracles, and thus words that tell us that all is well with the world. I can tell you that as I read those first, it rings just a bit hollow. It's a song that I would struggle to sing right now. Marcia Gray, in yesterday's United Church of Christ devotional, Still Speaking, speaks my sentiment and those of many of you, I am sure, when she says, lately I've been empty quite often. This world has gotten colder and human relationships more fragmented, but I'm not crying. My body is wrought with tension, bearing the load of a world with little justice for the vulnerable and few rules for the powerful. I don't know where to place this pain, she writes, where to place this anger and this sadness. It can just be too much. And I have to remind myself, when I feel those same feelings, I have to remind myself that Psalm 105 was written not by slaves who were suffering under Egyptian oppression at the time, but it was instead written on the other side. When that which had been unbearable and untenable had given way to the improbable and the impossible. Psalm 105 is written hundreds of years after the last whip of the Egyptian overlord was sung. It is written hundreds of years after the generations that wandered in the desert, dazed and confused before they made it to the promised land. It is written decades, if not centuries, after the Assyrians and the Babylonians have had their way with the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Psalm 105 was written at a time when the gaze of history is long, and when the arc that bends towards justice can be fully seen. It's written in a time when the rainbow of a covenant of love can be experienced in its full vibrancy and wholeness. Written in a time when the mystery that is the gift of life is experienced for the miracle that it is. It is written in a moment when indeed, for the psalmist, all feels right with the world. And it serves to remind us, therefore, that when we feel bleak, when we feel uncertain, when we feel unstable, that there will be a way forward, for there was a way forward that the psalmist speaks about, a way forward for those people of Israel that were enslaved in Egypt, a way forward into a promised land, a way forward into a time in which the oppression which they knew was no longer the reality they experienced. Let's be honest. I know I share with many of you deep concerns over this upcoming election in less than 50 days. I share with you deep concerns about a tilted Supreme Court. I share with you deep concern about temperatures that continue to rise in our world and the resulting catastrophic weather events and the avalanche of pain and misery amongst not just our human nature, our human neighbors, but the rest of our kin of creation. There are days, There are days I struggle to see a way forward, and I despair, and I ache. And on those days of struggle and trouble, those are the days that I need to let the psalmist's confidence carry my day. I need to look around to where a psalm such as this, which proclaims the truth of the unending ways of God's presence, is still alive today. Like, for instance, Leilania states, right now, more than 2 years after the last eruption, the last fissure closed down in Leilania states, but even still, as toxic fumes continue to rise from amongst the many cracks in the surface, the magic of iron and phosphorus, those very elements that are the center of great plant food that lava drags up from the center of the earth, are beginning to express themselves and providing the foundation for life taking hold. Even as heat can still be felt on the surfaces in some areas of Leilania states, that heat, which is a harbinger of the eruptive forces that are right below the surface, there are seeds right now that are hitching rides on the wind. There are other seeds that are taking a ride in the innards of a bird just waiting for its defecatory moment, and they will find a way to root. Walk right there now, 2 years later, and you will see life finding its way in the smallest of cracks, in the smallest of ways, but you will see life finding its way in 5 years from now. 5 years from now, in some of those areas of devastation will now become sites of amazing activation. And 25 years from now, you might be surprised if you didn't know there had been an eruption, that in fact there was an eruption. God will find a way. And I think of other stories. I think of my friends who, within 2 years of standing before me in a marriage celebration of hope and possibility, they were now facing the very reality of a diagnosis of advanced testicular cancer. Forget what most newlywed couples go through, trying to figure out career balancing, trying to figure out, do we rent, do we buy, how do we make ends meet? Forget the potential pitter patter of little feet. How about just living? How about just surviving? Everything condensed to that. All those life possibilities that seemed endless when he had proposed to her under a full moon on the beach at Lanai, when their eyes danced in front of me with the vows in which they shared with one another, when the congregation in attendance at their wedding day beamed with joy. All of that was now distilled to one basic reality. If at all possible, survive. And then, miracle of miracles, before the chemo, before the radiation, there was a simple procedure to bank some sperm. And after the chemo and after the radiation, once that miraculous word of remission had been uttered in their presence, there was a more complicated procedure to use that sperm to fertilize harvested eggs, and followed that by an even more complicated process to implant half of those fertilized eggs, and 9 months later, to welcome the one fertilized egg that had now grown into a newborn, a little baby boy that they held in their arms. When all had seemed impossible and improbable, there they were holding a miracle of life. And if that wasn't enough, less than 3 years later, they took the rest of those fertilized eggs, still frozen, still banked, implanted them. 9 months later, True, the fraternal twin sister, just born 3 years apart of that brother, was now born. Those children are now graduating from high school and in college. We cannot know the way forward. I can tell you right now, I look at the headlines of the world and I struggle to figure out what is the way forward. And for that very reason, because we cannot know the way forward, these are the moments in which the moment demands that we hold on to the promise that indeed there has always been a way forward. That the promise of that the psalmist declares from the other side of when things were so horrible and is able to now look back. To be able to have the faith that I heard echoed in the words of a good friend of mine just this past week. She had just the week before lost the job that she loved, a victim of the COVID-ravaged economy, and yet she simply said, I don't know what is next. I am sad about what I have lost, but all shall be well. God is good. Something will emerge. It will take work. It will take work. It will take our focus. It will take our being connected to one another. It will take acts of love. It will take acts of joy. It will take acts of justice, but there will be a way forward. Howard Thurman echoes such faithfulness as he continues the prayer that I quoted a few lines of earlier, when he simply says, our little lives, our big problems, those we place upon your altar, God. Brood over our spirits, our God, blow upon whatever dream thou hast for us, that there may glow once again upon our hearts the light from your altar. Pour out upon us whatever our spirits need of shock, of lift, of release, that we may find strength for these days, courage and hope for tomorrow. In confidence, we rest in thy sustaining grace, which makes possible triumph in defeat, gain in loss, and love in hate. We rejoice this day, our little lives, our big problems, these we place upon thy altar. And so it is that we take our little lives, our big problems, and we place them upon the altar that God has placed before us. We commit ourselves to the actions that we need to be the people of love, to be the people of peace that God has called us to. And we commit ourselves to, when times are very bleak, when times feel like we don't know a way forward, to trust, to lean into that which the psalmist says. God's promises are with us for 1,000 years and more. God shall be present. There shall be a way forward. Life will prevail. Love will prevail. Amen. And in that spirit of prayer that Howard Thurman led us in, let us continue in prayers at this time. The first prayer that I have here comes from Frances Wong, our own Justice Frances. And she says, prayers for Justice Ginsburg for comfort and peace to her family and close friends. She says, I'd like to thank God for this woman's courage to choose law and then to have the audacity to be good at it. I'd like to thank God that she knew the difference between being a good judge, a good justice, which she was, and the honorable and ethical ability to use her voice and her platform to stand with the oppressed. She was a rock star. God, hear our prayers. And from Liz, prayers for strength and courage and compassion to guide us through this pandemic and this chaotic election. Help us strengthen our faith and lessen our fears. God, hear our prayers. And yesterday, I had a conversation with Bill Petty, and he asked us to hold him in prayer. This Tuesday, he has an abdominal biopsy, a potential recurrence of the cancer that he dealt with more than 7 years ago. God, hear our prayers. From Richard Jackson, he requests that we pray that his pain and suffering will come to an end in the most appropriate way. God, hear our prayers. And we hear prayer requests that came from George Scott just as a few moments ago. Please pray and hold close in your hearts the Lee family. Father and husband passed in an ocean-related accident, leaving behind a wife and 4 daughters. God, hear our prayers. And lastly, from what I have, a prayer that comes from Babs and Samuel, prayer of thanksgiving for the service and loving care that Maureen and Andy Bates show to us and to all the others at Pohainani. God, hear our prayers. Jeanette?
So I have a few prayers here. Shanti has shared several prayers. Also prayers for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And may we find someone to pick up the flag to continue the talk on equalizing women's rights.
God, hear our prayers.
Shanti asked for prayers for her mother, Amy, so that as she continues the daily challenge of life.
God, hear our prayers.
And then Shanti has two more prayers. One is for the Pope, and then the other is for people and students of all ages and ethnic backgrounds who will return to school. May we think of the possible things and not all the impossible things or things that could go wrong. Amen to that.
God, hear our prayers.
Hear our prayers. From Coral, Prince Wilson, prayers for Nancy Terrell in Florida, who just lost her beloved partner Dave to cancer last week.
God, hear our prayers.
And that is all.
Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you.
Before the